I'll be reading John chapter 17, starting verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are one in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them.
Thank you. Would you join in our centering hymn? Number 420. Heart with loving heart united, met to know God's holy will. Let his love in us ignited, more and more our spirits fill. He the head, we are his members, we reflect the light he is. He the master, we disciples, he is ours and we are his. May we also love each other and all selfish claims deny, so that each one for the other will not hesitate to die. Even so, our Lord has loved us. For our lives he gave his life. Still he grieves and still he suffers for our selfishness and strife. Since, O Lord, you have demanded that our lives your love should show, so we wait to be commanded forth into your world to go. Kindle in us love's compassion, so that everyone may see in our fellowship the promise of a new humanity. Being together. That's an awesome thing, mostly. When I go to large church gatherings like annual or district conference, when I'm with others, ministers, when I'm with families at funerals even, or meal gatherings with personal church family and friends even, there's something special about just being together. I love being together in groups to discuss information, to get ideas. I've always said there's power in not just knowing what I think, but getting to appreciate how others feel. Even when I'm in committee meetings, I feel the spirit working and moving, what with exchanging thoughts with each other and developing plans. And what a surprise, I love singing with people. Congregations, choirs, small groups, you name it. Oh yes, my friends, being together in many levels is awesome. Now, is there some frustration in being together sometimes? Why can't people just see it my way? Or why can't we all just get along? Sure, we've all had those thoughts a time or two. But there is power in being together, friends. Something else about this. I love just as much visiting people one-on-one. Getting to hear thoughts, being open to someone else's world. And that's a child, a grown-up. I don't care. I love talking to people. There's power in new insight and understanding. Okay, I might not always agree, but at least I can listen and maybe think about something I've done or think a different way, change something I've been doing or thinking, or just hear someone's pain or joy. Indeed, there's power in being together that way, too. You know, I'm a little jealous of Jesus because he was able to do it all, to have fruitful togetherness on all levels. He was able to do it with large crowds, and he was able to do it one-on-one. He developed relationships, he healed the hurting, fed the hungry, but he also listened to pain. He worked through people's personal and collective stuff, and he was there to wrestle with long-term community issues while at the same time dealing with people's personal problems. When I think about it as a minister, I wonder how Jesus had time for it all. Seeing as I, a planner, can seemingly barely turn around and have enough time to do much of anything sometimes, wow, what Jesus did with the time he had, it makes my head spin. I didn't have this in my sermon, but I would have been interested if Jesus had a planner to see how full it was. So, isn't it interesting this morning we greet Jesus in an attitude of prayer? After all the doing, after all the teaching and preaching, feeding and healing, equipping and ministering, Jesus prays. In this chapter of John's account, he prays first for himself, then for his disciples, and then for all who will believe. Let's set the scene for a second. It's Thursday evening, the night on which Jesus will be betrayed, handed over to his enemies, deserted by his friends, tried, convicted, and ultimately crucified. How many of you would feel together with people at that point? And knowing all that is to come, he gathers his closest friends, offers them parting words of encouragement and hope, and then prays for them. He prays they may endure the challenges which come their way. He prays they may discover strength in their unity. He prays they will be drawn together as one. Also for them to know Jesus and the Heavenly Father are one. And then, if that isn't enough, he prays for them to believe in Jesus by their message. So as I think about this scripture in John's gospel, one question comes to mind this morning. Are we really one with Jesus? Are we really desiring to be together with him in everything? Do we hear his prayers, and are we responding affirmatively? In the first part of chapter 17, Jesus prays for himself. As I said earlier, he put, Father, put your glory in me that I may glorify you. Then he moves on to his disciples, asking God to give them energy for the journey ahead as they minister. And then in our section for this morning, he prays for everyone who will hear the disciples' message to turn to him and accept his beautiful mercy and grace. Now, isn't that what we should be doing in the church? It should start with us, right? We should want God to move in and through us so we can be energized, enlivened, enthused, and enveloped by the love of God, so we can become excited and eager to share God's love, not out of expectation, but out of anticipation with others so they can capture it. And then we should be spreading that love to everyone, not out of responsibility, but embracing the possibilities for changing a world of hate into a world where love is the rule. Friends, love has to start small in order for it to grow. It transcends from God, for God is love, remember, as 1 John 4 reminds us. And then it's manifested in the love of Jesus. And then that love trickles into our own hearts. I think sometimes we think we can't do anything. So we just don't do it. And therefore, we halt the journey of love. Friends, if that love somehow stops along the way from us, from God to us, to others, to everyone, if somehow along the way it stops, it can't possibly make a difference, can it? But oh, what greatness love brings. It shelters, comforts, and protects like nothing else. And praise God, we're all able to do it. Yes, friends, love on all levels brings people together. So through our love, are we really one with Jesus? For Christians, one of the greatest ways to love is shown by Jesus, and that's simply to pray, as he does here. And again, we all can do it. But when we miss that opportunity, when we fail to pray, oh, it hurts and it shows up, doesn't it? In this world, we don't pray. And if we do, we don't pray enough. Unless, well, of course, we're seemingly in trouble. But think about the instruction Jesus gives his disciples in Matthew's gospel. You have heard that it was said, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Love your neighbor. Actually, does it say that? No, it doesn't. It says, love your neighbor, hate your enemy, but it goes on. That's what the world says. But I tell you, Jesus says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even non-believers do that? My friends, we must pray God will hold us in the palm of his hand, gather us in, and allow us to make a difference, to love while we're here, to show Jesus love, to forgive as best we can, to be the church, a church people would see only as one of love, never of hate, hypocrisy, or discrimination of any kind. Or how about this even? Maybe we should pray, we are a church who never uses excuses, one who always stays in its walls, or one who just does what's comfortable. Maybe we should pray for that not to happen, those last two things. What if people saw the church as one where they knew they would be loved and cared about no matter what or who they were? Please pray for the Church of the Brethren's annual conference this year. Many of you know the denomination is struggling, and we are trying to figure out what we want to be. But friends, there is more good than bad. We have the Lord with us, I am convinced, and we want to believe and show that Jesus will reign, and we can be together even in our disagreements. So please pray that Jesus would be our center in a month coming up in North Carolina. So here at Black Rock, are we really one with Jesus? Would you love everyone who comes into Black Rock, friends? Would you be ready to not just accept them, but be together with them? Would you be excited to get to know someone you had misgivings about? Would you be willing to offer hospitality, inviting strangers either to your home or out for a meal? Or if that seems too uncomfortable, how about would you be willing to sit with someone after worship for a bit of a conversation? Or just pray with them? Somehow, could you even agree to walk with someone through life, to be family for them and with them? What a blessing it is. Many of you create cards or write personal notes to people, and I've received some of those even in Braille. Thank you for your expressions of love. How awesome is it? Our encouragement card and community ministries build others up, help the homeless, and feed the hungry. How amazing is it? Some of you work at the Brethren Home, meat canning, and the summer lunch program. How awesome is it? Our children respond in children's time and also run up here to do the acolytes. All kinds of ways we're loving. But let's think of it this way. Do you pray for someone totally different from you? I.e., someone who looks different, holds a different opinion, doesn't see things the way you do? Do you pray for someone you know you can't stand, or whom can't stand you? Do you pray for someone who never seems to get off your back? Do you pray in life to make sure you do what you can and let the rest up to God? Remember what Jesus says to God at the end of our John passage this morning, which Audrey read so well, beginning at verse 25. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And then they know you've sent me. I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. That's a lot of thems, but you get the idea. So do people know, friends, you're Christians by the love you have? You know, friends, what God has done for you. You also know the world in which you live. You can't control what the world does. But you don't answer to anyone else other than God. Do you think about that when you're talking to a telemarketer? Do you think about that when you're annoyed waiting in a long line and one of those horrible machines just won't work? You think about that when you're on the road driving. Some of you who I'm riding with, I'm very, very interested by the sounds you make. And what a blessing to be able to pray. What an awesome burden can be taken off our shoulders when we realize we don't own any of this or anyone. No matter how hard we try, instead we cast our cares on God. Just as the old hymn says, I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. And anytime I don't know just what to do, and what's the last line? I will cast all my cares upon you. Friends, with God's help, we can each bring people into the family of God as Jesus enfolds us and allows us to enfold others into the sheep pen. But our love for God through Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, just can't ever stop. Because there's never a time it's not necessary. There's never a time we can take off. And why? There's always people in need. There's always opportunities to heal and help the hurting. There's always a chance to bring someone closer to Jesus. we just can't run out of steam, and therefore must have the excitement, feeling Jesus' sheltering, comforting, protecting love coursing through us every day, praying for us, lifting us up, offering us God's love, praying we may one day come to complete unity by God's grace and eventually to heaven, a land where ignorance, fear, frustration, intolerance, misunderstanding, grudge, guilt, inflexibility, injustice, gruffness, those things won't even be issues anymore, where love will reign and we all will be God's children together forever. Doesn't that sound awesome? Now, I admit, it's hard for us to imagine such a world now. Communities are different. Cities, suburbs, rural communities, people struggle to be together. Families, in some cases, are spread literally from coast to coast. Even when they're not, the modern family struggles to be together in these days. And the concept of a neighborhood is just about gone, relegated to the days of the 1950s and 60s. We barely know the people we live around. I know I can't see it, but would you raise your hands if you know your neighbors around you, on either side of you? Not in these pews. Friends, rather than the community of the past, we tend to see ourselves as individuals, living as individuals, concerned with our individual welfare. As a result, we isolate ourselves, immersed in the virtual reality of television, internet, and video games, not much of a substitute for real flesh and blood relationships. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I am so fascinated when I go to restaurants and I hear people sitting across the table from each other texting on their phones. I don't understand it, because I can do that for free at home. Friends, unfortunately, the individualism for our society has made its way into the church. Rather than the common good, we are mainly concerned with what I get out of it when it comes to church life. We can talk a good game when it comes to our congregations as families and communities, but the reality in most cases is very different and much harder to accomplish. My friends, I am so blessed to be at Black Rock Church of the Brethren, because we are family. Yes, a lot of you are related. I get that. But we're family. One hurts, we all hurt. When somebody's upset, well, the family's upset. When we're struggling to figure out what to do, we're struggling together. That's been my experience in the 5+ years I've been with you. And as pastor, I've been blessed to experience family also. Many of you have come to me and been open either voluntarily, yourselves, or when I've asked you directly. You have been honest, talking about the good things going on here. But especially, I'm pleased you can come to me about the stuff you are frustrated about, the stuff we might not agree on, the stuff which probably neither of us has 100% answer for. But at least we can come together, talk together, and pray together. That's what Jesus wants. I'm blessed you've welcomed me to bedsides when family members are dying, into your hearts to discuss difficult issues in your lives or in those of loved ones. And in areas where you've seen me make mistakes. And praise God, we're willing to work together, accepting the reality mistakes are part of the journey. But we're still family. Friends, we've been able to discuss the things I don't want to hear. And I've been able to tell you some things which have stretched you. And we've also shared trusted information back and forth in different areas about given situations here at church. I pray, friends, I pray by God's grace, no matter what happens, we continue to feel that comfort and connection together with each other. I am far from perfect, and I will not always agree with you. But rest assured here, I love you all. You will be heard. And as much as possible, all of you have a voice as we seek God's direction moving forward here at Black Rock. So friends, I believe it. I've seen it. We are family as one. We can live that out as family. Young and old, it does not matter. Now, can we reach others? Can we ignite our candle of love to be so great others cannot help but notice? You know, one prospective member that's taking the classes in September told me at one point here a month ago, when the Easter service was held here, he turned to his spouse and said, "I'm home." Isn't that what we want, friends? When people are here, we want them to feel a sense of connection. Can we adopt an attitude, everyone deserves to be enfolded as a child of God? Everyone has that opportunity. Everyone deserves the best we got. Are we really one with Jesus? So as many as possible can be one together with him, praising our Heavenly Father in eternity forever. I'd like to close by having us sing, "They'll Know We Are Christians." As we think about the world we live in, the world we long to reach, for indeed, for better or worse, we are one in the Spirit. Amen? Let's sing the three verses of "We Are One in the Spirit." "They'll Know We Are Christians." Words will be on the screen. Let's sing together.
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each one's dignity and save each one's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
So friends, are we really one with Jesus? Are we one in the Spirit? Do we feel him praying for us as he does in John's gospel, lifting us up? Are we doing the same for ourselves and others? Let's never stop loving, stop praying, because it's never in vain. And through Jesus, by God's grace, the more we love, the more we pray, the more we'll be family, strangers no more, together, one with Jesus forever. To God be the glory. Amen. Would you stand as you're able and join in our closing? for we are strangers no more. Number 322. Strangers no more, but members of one family. Strangers no more, but part of one humanity. Strangers no more, we're neighbors to each other now. Strangers no more, we're sisters and we're brothers now. Come walk with me, we'll praise the Lord together as we join song to song and prayer to prayer. Come take my hand and we will walk together by lifting all the burdens we can share. For we are strangers no more, but members of one family. Strangers no more, but part of one humanity. Strangers no more, we're neighbors to each other now. Strangers no more, we're sisters and we're brothers now. We will strive for peace. Come take my hand and we will pray together that justice come and strife and warfare cease. For we are strangers no more, but members of one family. Strangers no more, but part of one humanity. Strangers no more, we're neighbors to each other now. Strangers no more, I'm going to stop you there. Jeannie, would you play the melody with us? Just the melody on our last verse and refrain. And let's sing the melody together. There is a love. There is a love that binds the world together. A love that seeks the last, the lost, the least. One day that love, good, will bring us all together. In Christ from south and north, from west and east. For we are strangers no more, but members of one family. Strangers no more, but part of one humanity. Strangers no more, we're neighbors to each other now. Strangers no more, we're sisters and we're brothers now. So friends, are we really one with Jesus? And if we are, let's love, let's pray, just as he did, because we can make a difference. We can be a church which goes beyond these walls. We can be people, Christians, the world cannot take their eyes off. So let's go do it. Amen.